Hey, this is Trevor Porath here on Section 119 Football, a new podcast we'll be doing. And you can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Porath.
I'm Daniel Hansen. You can find me on Twitter at TheGrandDanny.
And I am Jaden Johnson at JadenTheJedi. Welcome in to today's episode of Section 119 Football. What we're going to be doing is every week during football season, and even some of the weeks during the off season when we just feel like talking football and we got some juicy news for you.
So every week?
It's probably going to happen a lot. I always love talking football. Even basketball during the off season, I kind of have to step away a little bit. I can't really go for the preseason and all the rumors and stuff.
But football we can talk
football,
about year-round.
Football I can talk about year-round.
And we got a lot today.
So, again, probably. I mean, you can expect at least every week throughout football season, we're going to come at you with 30-minute or more podcasts talking about everything that's going on college football and NFL. So today we got a packed show, just crazy weekend of college football. So we're going to go over that a little bit, talk about all the top 25 matchups, the top 10 matchups that we had. I mean, six of the top 10 teams playing each other. It was a huge moving week for the top 25 poll. So we'll get to that. Do our weekly Eat the Cupcake segment, which I will introduce to you once we get there. And then move on to NFL, where we're going to do our 8 in the Box segment, which again, I'll explain, but we're going to go around the entire National Football League and discuss every single conference. So, packed show.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff, and we're going to kick it off going through college football because there's a lot of stuff that happened over this weekend. It was just absolutely amazing week. I mean, we had three top 10 matchups. We had several others that were playing ranked teams. We had just a smorgasbord of awesomeness pretty much happen on Saturday and Friday. So let's start off just the biggest game that we know everyone was excited for and probably watched, Clemson and Louisville. Like, do you guys watch that?
That was crazy. having Louisville losing it first, come back, take the lead, and then end up losing it.
Like, it was nuts. Holy crap. You had Clemson went on a 21-0 run in the first half or something like that. Then Louisville went on 27-0 run in the second half, and then Clemson somehow pulls it out there at the end.
Unreal. Like,
that was amazing.
So like, I was up at the Tetons with my family, and all my uncles are big football fans, big sports fans in general. One of my uncles, though, he'd never seen Louisville play, and I was telling him all about Lamar Jackson and how just unbelievably good he is. And so he's getting all excited for the game, and we sit down, and we got back a while early from hiking and stuff specifically to watch this game. And the first quarter, he's going, Why are you so excited about Lamar Jackson? This guy isn't doing crap. And he wasn't. But then, man, after that, he was blown away. What a performance.
Well, not even him. He had an amazing game. But then on the other side of the paper, he still had Deshaun Watson. It finally had a good game against a good team.
Showed why he's a Heisman candidate.
Five total touchdowns for the day. I think Lamar had four or something like that. I mean, they just dueled the entire game. It was bliss.
What a game. You got 568 yards for Louisville and 507 for Clemson. And if you remember, in the first little bit, it kind of looked like a little bit of a defensive showdown. And you're like, Louisville and Clemson playing defense on each other? I mean, if I remember correct, at the end of the first quarter, it was scoreless.
Yeah, I think it
was. Wasn't it?
I don't know if it was scoreless or if it was 7-0 or something like that. But, I mean, the two defenses, they're amazing. Let's first of all admit that. The reason these teams were 3-5 coming into this game were largely because their defenses are also off the charts. But, I mean, we watched that game to watch Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson just go at each other's throats pretty much. And we finally got that in, the second half pretty much.
I was expecting, once I saw Louisville go on that charge, I was expecting Louisville to win. I don't really have an allegiance either way. I was probably cheering for Louisville just because Clemson's been more prominent been more dominant recently, and I guess that there wasn't really an underdog, but I was cheering for Louisville. But you know what? What a game. Either way, anywhere you look at it.
I'm just sad we don't get, like, an ACC championship of that.
Why couldn't they be in separate divisions? I mean, come on. Rearrange it. Make it happen.
Mid-season, rearrange it.
Let's make it happen. The other division is trash anyway.
Yeah, Florida State. It's trash. Probably still going to win it, and yeah.
Or maybe one of them could go, you know, pull the old Alabama a few years ago where they didn't make the SEC championship, and so they didn't lose again, and so they still went to the national championship and won.
Honestly, I could see it. If Louisville runs the table, I don't know how the playoff selection committee can say no. That's just me, though.
I'm not going to go much more into it, but this is a perfect example of why we need an 8-team playoff. Or
16.
Okay. Anyway, that is a discussion for another day.
That's an off-season podcast.
That's a great off-season podcast.
Did you catch Michigan-Wisconsin?
Yes.
I did not catch that game.
I did not either.
I didn't catch the full game, but I caught the last bit. I caught the winning, what turned out to be the winning touchdown from Michigan. I mean, that was a defensive battle.
Like, I tell you, I wasn't expecting that. I mean, I wasn't expecting to be like a crazy high-scoring game. I know that they both got good defenses, but 14-7?
I was kind of thinking that. I mean, Wisconsin, like, you always think that it's just going to be some slow game. Like you just think it's going to be something like slow trudge, ground pound, defensive battle. So I'm always kind of thinking that with Wisconsin. But at the same time, Michigan's offense is pretty good. I mean, they've got players all over the field. Like, I was kind of thinking it'd be more than that. But I mean, I was completely the final 14-7. By the way, play of the week for me was, did you guys see the interception that sealed it at the end of the game?
I did.
That diving one-handed catch. Like, I think it was
amazing.
Like Jordan Smith, I think, or something like that for Michigan. That might be my catch of the year, to be honest. I mean, there's a couple others that are really good, but diving, you're draped like all over the wide receiver, you catch it one-handed diving and you hang on to it when you hit the ground. Like, that was awesome.
And they say defensive players can't catch. I love the Big Ten this year. I love it. Love it. Love it.
It's awesome.
Every week I just want to watch the big Big Ten matchups because it's so fun to watch. And I wish I could have seen that, but again.
I think it's Harbaugh's khakis that are helping him win a lot out there.
He has magic khakis or something?
I think so.
To be honest, I mean, you look at it. I mean, he won at Stanford, which sucked before he got there. Won at 49ers, who sucked before he got there.
And after.
Michigan, who sucked before he got there. It's something with the khakis.
What a coach, man.
I hate his guts. I think he's kind of a tool bag, but he's a
freaking coach.
I
don't mind him. I mean, he's a recruiter and a coach. What a steal by Michigan to get him.
Yeah.
They're going to be prominent as long as he's there.
He's one of those good coaches to go in and go to tanking teams and flip them and then go somewhere else.
I think we could hire him at Utah State.
Yeah. Maybe in like NCAA football, like 2012 or something.
I saw
create your own coach,
and we'll talk a little more NFL later. But I saw something hilarious on Twitter talking about how there should be a reality show where Bill Belichick goes around to different NFL franchises that just suck. You know, go to the Cleveland Browns for a season and then maybe hop over to the Chicago Bears or something and see if he could flip those into, like, playoff teams.
Franchise impossible.
Maybe we could do the same thing in college with Jim Harbaugh.
Maybe the Browns he could do that, but I don't know about the Bears. Sorry, Derek.
I would not put it past Belichick to do that. But here's the question. We're going to talk about that. Can Jim Harbaugh turn around Kansas? Could he do that?
No.
Give
him 20 years.
At least when he went to Stanford and Michigan, they both had prestige from years past. Kansas has never really had prestige in football. Basketball, yes. Football, I don't think they ever had good prestige.
If anybody could do it, I would say Jim Harbaugh could. I think he could probably find a way to parlay the basketball glory into football.
What about Chip Kelly?
Saban might be able
Chip
to
Kelly,
do it.
Heck no.
Chip Kelly. He turned Oregon around.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But that was more of a system fit, I think, that just really worked out at Oregon. I'm not sure Kansas could have the fly jerseys and all the fancy stuff that lured just every single speedster to Oregon.
Dude, I don't know. Kansas just – they. I get it was mostly for the basketball players, but I saw these pictures online of some new dorms that they had built just for the athletes. Whew. This is living the life.
Yeah, it's amazing anyway. What Kansas has done with just a basketball team.
Yeah. Moving on, Stanford, Washington. That was was that Thursday night?
Friday night.
I watched it. It was a blowout. I didn't watch too much of it. But. I don't think a ton of people were expecting for that game to turn out the way that it did for Washington to just go and waste them. I've viewed Stanford as like the class of the Pac-12 this entire season, and since long before the season started, they've been my favorite to win it.
I thought it was gonna be Oregon.
Yeah, they're 2-3 now. I mean,
and
you never see Stanford get beaten out. Like, that's the crazy thing. Like, this is Stanford. Like, usually they're at least good enough that they'll keep it within two touchdowns. But I was just like watching the score go up on my phone. It was like 30-0, like in the third quarter or something like that. Like, it was just nuts what Washington did to them.
Yeah, very, very impressive game. I immediately after I realized that Washington is coming to play at Utah in a couple of weeks, and I logged on to StubHub and thought, you know, I don't particularly care for Utah, but man, that would be a fun game to watch. But yeah, the cheapest tickets are something like $130 for standing room only, so yeah. That dream kind of went down the door quick. But
it'll be interesting because Washington played well this week, but last week before this game they were in a dogfight with Arizona, so kind of a tale of two games right there. So it'll be interesting to see if Washington can actually win like at Utah and all these other games that they have the rest on their schedule. But I mean, props to them for manhandling Stanford like that. That was a surprise, to say the least.
Yeah, they it's definitely not going to be an easy path for them to win the conference. Even I mean, they still got at Utah, they still got at Washington State, which is always a tough one for them.
I think they're at Oregon too.
So. They got USC at home, so. We'll see. I mean, I love the Pac-12. I always love watching Pac-12 games, and we'll see what happens there. So there's not as many big games this week, but it's still a pretty solid lineup of games. What you see any that are like especially intriguing to you?
There's the Utah State and Colorado State game. I'm really kind of excited okay. for that one.
You can listen to our Aggie Sports podcast if you want to hear more about that. We'll omit that from this. Omit. I said Emit.
If I can't say that, here's one I'm really kind of interested in. Tennessee and Texas A&M. It's the only top 10 matchup this week. I don't really like the SEC too much, but these are two teams I'm just kind of puzzled by because I don't really think either of them are that good, to be honest. I mean, they're both undefeated, but neither of them have really had games where a game where they're just like, they just put out a statement, they wipe the floor with the competition. Tennessee's had three escapes this year with Appalachian State coming back against Florida, and this past week that Hail Mary that never should have happened if you're Georgia. And then Texas A&M's just kind of underwhelmed to me in a lot of their games too, like not playing to their full potential. So I think this is a really good test to see if these teams are actually good or if one or both are just like a complete fake. So I'm interested to see that.
I'd have to agree with you there on that. That does look like the best one. But I just say the Tennessee stole a play from Aaron Rodgers and Richard Rodgers. But it kind of happens that way.
That was a nuts game, too, last week. But
you know, it's kind of, you know, those top 10 games are always always good to watch because you really know who's really going to be there and who's not supposed to be there and what will probably leave the top 10 after that.
I don't know. Just looking through the schedule, there's quite a few decent games. The Miami Florida State, that's a top 25 matchup. I don't really care too much about it because I don't care for either of those teams. But I mean, you've also got Oregon at Washington. That's a pretty solid game. One that kind of intrigues me, and I don't know how much implication it really has, but I'm excited to see Colorado and USC.
I was just about to talk to that because about that game, actually.
You know, Colorado, they've been the surprise of the Pac-12 this year. I mean they're not like world beaters or anything, but they've done pretty well. USC is a very in question team. Colorado, they're number 21 in the country right now, and so which just seems weird.
And USC is a good team. I mean,
and USC is a very good team.
Their three losses are Utah, Stanford, and Alabama.
I think they're a very solid team. So, you know, I think that Colorado's going to come in. They're going to be giving it their all on that. And USC, they don't want to lose another game the rest of the year. I mean, nobody does, but they've got extra motivation. So that could be a really fun one to watch.
Yeah. And also, don't forget, you got the Red River rivalry, too, this week, Texas-Oklahoma. I mean, they're both 2-2, and frankly, I don't give a crap about either of them right now because neither of them are going to the playoff. But that's still a fun game to watch. I mean,
maybe less important than some years, but
yeah. Another one also to look out for: Houston plays Navy as well. Navy's 3-1. They're not as good as last year. There's no Keenan Reynolds, but I mean, it's still a conference game. Houston still needs to be undefeated to have a chance at the playoff. This is one of their big games left on their schedule.
All right, so I'm going to go around and let's keep this a little bit quick, but which four teams do you want to see in the college football playoff this year, and which four do you think will be in?
By sheer entertainment, I want to see Louisville and Clemson, preferably playing each other in the semifinal. I want to see Houston in there, and then I would probably say Michigan because they're fun to watch. Teams I think will be in there, I think it'll actually be pretty close to that. I think Louisville and Clemson both will get in because I think they'll both run the table from here on out. Alabama and probably Michigan. Whoever wins Michigan and Ohio State pretty much has an automatic bid, I think. Well, of course, they have to win the Big Ten championship, but
the ACC is not going to get two teams in.
If Clemson wins out, they win the conference championship, they're in for sure. If Louisville wins out, they're probably ranked. They're only like number six right now. So if they get up to like number two, I mean, granted, we have to see what the playoff committee and their polls say, but
I think
it'd be hard to say.
I think I'm going with Daniel. I think they can both be in because, you know, look at, you know, all the teams in the Pac-12 have lost one at least. And so someone, you know, I don't think they'll be able to put one in. And the Big 12 doesn't really have a good team either.
Big 12's not getting in.
Yeah. They're relying on Baylor and West Virginia.
They've lost right there.
So Big 12 ain't getting one in, and Pac-12 might not get one in. So who else would really go? Is there going to be two teams from the SEC then?
Houston.
I would give it to you that is the option. But I mean, if Louisville wins out, they beat Houston.
If.
So that game could be just a play-in game. Could have implications.
The four I would like to see: Utah State. I can't believe you didn't take that one.
Well, we said we were going to omit that from this.
But no, not from this segment. I'm keeping it. Utah State is the number one seed. We'll go Kansas. Coming back with the Kansas theme. The SEC has to get in, so we'll go Vanderbilt. I have a special place in my heart for Vanderbilt. And number four,
North Dakota State.
Not North Dakota State. On. I'm sorry. They're too much. They're a bully.
But they could win the FCS playoff and the FBS playoff. That'd be remarkable.
Maryland. Let's go Terps. All right. So that's the four I want to see. I can't say I think it'll happen. I think it's going to be Alabama. No, I mean, they got a pretty clear path, and even if they lose a game, I still think they get in. I don't think Ohio State's going to win the Big Ten. I think that Michigan has a very good shot to steal it from them. So I'm gonna go with Michigan. If Washington wins out, it's going to be hard to keep them out. But you know, I don't think the Pac-12 gets a team this year. So I'll go Alabama. I'll go Michigan. I think Clemson gets in, and I think Houston has a very good shot.
They just have to beat Louisville.
Yep. If they beat Louisville, and you know what, there's going to be all kinds of discussion and it's going to be turmoil for the playoff committee, but you know what? If they win out and they're an undefeated team having wins against Oklahoma and Louisville.
And Florida.
Oh, wait, no. No, that's no you're throwing me off. How could you keep them out? So that's my thoughts. It's going to be fun. Last year I had so little excitement for the college football playoff because it was just teams that I didn't care for. And, I mean, there's still, you know, Alabama's always in there, and so that's not very exciting. But it'll be a lot more fun, I think, this year to watch. Before we move into our NFL, we need to do our weekly Eat the Cupcake segment.
Eat the Cupcake.
And I'll explain that, as I probably will every week from here on out. what Eat the Cupcake is every week. So we like to look at point spreads. Not that I'm a huge gambler or anything, but I like to see where Vegas puts the lines. So we look at all of the Las Vegas lines from the games throughout the week.
For college football.
For college football. And we look at the major underdogs. Who doesn't love an underdog? And by major underdog, we constitute that as a 20-point or more underdog. And each of the three of us will pick a 20-point or more underdog. And if that team wins, you take home the pot of money.
And the pot of money, we each put a dollar in each week that we do this. So
we're not going to get rich off this, but well, we might be able to get a
McDonald's meal.
So
problem is there's only three games this week, so there's slim pickings. And we each kind of just – every week we don't think we're going to win. But this week especially.
Sometimes you think you have a chance. This week there are three very bad, pretty close to 30-point underdogs, and that's it as far as 20 or more. Usually there's 7 or 8 to pick from. But Trevor, who you got?
I'm going to take the Rutgers over Michigan because their Rutgers are at home, so they got the home field advantage.
And that's how you know it's bad, when you're saying Rutgers has home field advantage and that's why you're picking them. I am taking Indiana to win at Ohio State. I have no reason to pick that, but I'm picking that.
And he had second choice, which means he didn't have to pick TCU at Kansas. I somehow have to make a case here that Kansas has a shot at beating TCU. Kansas has gotten a lot of airtime in this podcast. That won't typically be the case. But I think – I don't think this. But if I – and I didn't get a choice in the three of these since I drew last. But I'm taking Kansas over TCU. So we'll see. Sometimes, this pot might build up to $12, $15, $20 before the time where somebody actually wins it, or somebody might take it in the next couple of weeks here. So we'll see. But
probably not this week.
We're already we got $3 in the pot right now. After this week, it'll be $6. Is that right?
Think so.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So anyways,
we're going to move on now to the NFL because we got a lot of stuff we want to talk about there. We want to talk a little bit unbeatens because there's still a couple – there's still a couple people that are unbeaten. We got the Broncos, Eagles, and the Vikings. And we want to just talk a little bit about them. Like, do these actually have a shot at, like, a Super Bowl, the playoffs, their divisions? I personally think Broncos and Vikings are real. I do not buy the Eagles at all. But what are you guys' thoughts? Like, what are realistic expectations for the unbeaten teams?
I think the Vikings can make the playoffs, but, you know, I don't think they're going to win the division. Because I think the Packers are starting to get rolling now that Jordy Nelson has, you know, found his groove a bit. You know, the first game, you know, this first and second game, Jordy Nelson wasn't really in there. And so they didn't really have their main guy to go. Aaron Rodgers didn't have his main guy to go to yet. And then that third game, Jordy Nelson just showed up and he's getting back into rhythm. He's learned how to – he's known that he can run on that leg without having to worry about it. So I think they're going to get even better together.
I don't know. Vikings are good, but I've been saying since before the season, I think that they are a wild card team, and I'm going to stick with that. Again, I think the Packers win that division as well. Eagles, I don't know. I don't know. They're in the NFC East. Anything could happen. They got a really good shot to win it, but I don't think they do anything in the playoffs. And Broncos are a serious contender again. Very serious contender, I think.
I kind of agree with that. I mean, Eagles, I just can't really buy just being in the NFC East. There's too many good teams there. Broncos, Vikings, their defenses are amazing. So that alone, I think, just can carry them into the playoffs. Offensively, I don't buy any of these teams, really. Vikings.
Bradford, though.
I'll give it to you.
I rest my case.
I'll give it to you. Sam Bradford looks like a legitimate starting quarterback. And I think that possibly – I think that he has been somewhat a hostage of some very, very bad offensive systems in the past. I still don't think he's a Pro Bowl quarterback or anything like that, but he's looked pretty good this year. He's looked serviceable. I thought that was the stupidest trade ever at first, but it's starting to look all right.
I still think it's stupid just because they gave up a first and a fourth, but
I mean, hey, you can't argue with the results. If it puts them in contention.
Yeah, true that.
They want to eat the pot now, not later.
I guess so. I mean, you know, I guess back then they still thought they had a really good Adrian Peterson that could also carry them. Now they have to rely on Sam Bradford to carry them, and that's not something you never want to have happen. Anyways, that's only three teams out of 32, and there's 29 other teams that deserve a little bit of our attention. So we're going to move on to our eight in the box segment. So eight in the box, if you weren't able to catch it earlier, there's eight divisions. We're just going to kind of peruse through all of them and just kind of talk about the major storylines on each one and where we think that division is going to go and what team actually has a chance. So we're going to start over in the AFC East, which is probably going to be a quick one because it's just the Patriots and nobody else.
Well, I will say the Patriots lost to the Bills. They didn't have Tom Brady, but they lost to the Bills. And so, I mean, it's a close race right now.
Yeah, but it's amazing what the Patriots just did for the first 4 weeks. They're 3-1. They didn't have Tom Brady. They pretty much didn't have Rob Gronkowski. Their offensive line was also injury riddled. I think it still is, but they're going to get Brady back, and Gronk is probably going to be healthier after they played the Thursday night game and pretty much had the half bye.
Not only that, they did have their last game. They did have a wide receiver as their backup quarterback.
Well, and Gronk. I mean, Gronk played in the last two games, but very, very minimal roles. Where a lot of the time he was blocking. He only ran out on like 10 routes last week, and the week before was even less. So I mean, the Patriots. It's almost not even worth like talking about the AFC East with how much success the Patriots have had in there in the past 15 years. It's kind of a foregone conclusion that they're going to be the division champs. And I'd like to debate anybody on that because I don't see you making much of a case for the Bills, Jets, or Dolphins.
There's none. There's just none.
So. I don't know how much more there is to say about the AFC East, except I'm excited to see what the Patriots do. I'm excited to see who they are this year. Tom Brady, of course, he's getting older.
But if they won with Garoppolo and Brissett, I'm not worried about Tom Brady.
You can't convince me that they're a worse team now that Tom Brady's coming back.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been practicing with Giselle.
Yeah, you can talk about the Patriots not being that good, but if you're going to say anybody else wins, that means you're saying that the Bills, Jets, or Dolphins are good, and they're not.
Yeah.
So let's move on. There's other divisions which are a little bit better, actually a lot better. So AFC North is one of those divisions, I think. It's kind of jumbled right now because you've had Ravens had an easy schedule. They're 3-1. The Steelers have kind of fluctuated between being good and bad. They're 3-1. Bengals are 2-2 after playing a brutal schedule. And then the Browns are applying to be an FCS team.
FCS.
I personally think all three AFC wildcard teams might come from this division.
No. I don't think so. Three from one division?
The AFC North has done it several times in the past couple of years.
No, I'll tell you why that's not going to happen.
I think the West will have.
I'll tell you once we get to the AFC West portion.
That's fair.
So the North, I have said since before the season, and I'm sticking with it, I think the Steelers win the Super Bowl this year. I have many reasons to think that, and they pounded the Chiefs last night, Monday night. We're shooting this on Tuesday. So they pounded the Chiefs. They looked incredible. Their offense is just so talented. They have, in my opinion, by far the most talented offense in the league. The defense isn't great, but it's not bad either. And well, so I think the Steelers win the Super Bowl, but in my opinion, that's the best division in football.
You gotta remember the Steelers got pounded the week before that, though.
Yeah, okay. The Eagles. Okay, yeah, that is fair. But I mean, what team doesn't have a bad week every now and then? There's nobody. The Patriots, nobody got 16 and 0. They got shut out at home to the Bills.
Okay, never mind. My point is invalid.
I'm not ready to just write that loss off because they did get killed. I'm not ready to just write it off, but at the same time, I'm sticking with my pick, man. I think that they're just too good of a team. As much as I hate to say it, because you know what? I will be straightforward and tell you, I do not like the Steelers.
I will give you that they're the really talented offense and whatnot, but the thing is, it's Roethlisberger. He's going to miss a couple games probably in the season like he always does. Le'Veon Bell, we're not even sure how well that ACL is going to hold up over the year. They've got a couple question marks. Their defense especially is a question mark after giving 34 points to the Eagles. But then you also look at it, I mean, they're still a playoff team because that offense still is good. Bengals, I think they're a playoff team because their offense is also good, but they've got a defense to match. Ravens are the ones that are a question mark here on whether or not they can be a playoff team. It kind of depends on how they play the final couple weeks because their schedule is brutal at the end. They play, I think, the Eagles, Patriots, Steelers, and Bengals in like the last 4 weeks of the season, which is a ridiculous four-game stretch. Personally, I think 11-5 is probably what you have to be to win the wild card in the AFC. I think three teams there, the Ravens, Bengals, and Steelers, could possibly all be 11-5.
No. Yeah. I'm just going to say no. And that is because of the AFC West.
We'll get there in a minute, though. We've got to do the AFC South first here.
Texans,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's about all we need to talk about.
The Colts are going to, I think, at least give them a little bit of a run. I think the Colts will be within a game and a half, of the Texans. But
here's the recap of the AFC South. The Houston Texans have a football team without a quarterback. The Indianapolis Colts have a quarterback without a football team.
Hey, come on, don't hate on Osweiler.
I'm sorry, Brock. He's not that bad. He's 5 touchdowns and 6 interceptions to begin the season. He's not a franchise quarterback.
That sounds like Jay Cutler.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Jay Cutler type numbers there.
Exactly. That's not something you want to go for. So, I think Houston wins just on the strength of their team, their strength of their receivers.
I'm not going to argue there. Houston wins it. But in the West, I think that you have 4, you heard me right, 4 legitimate contenders. The Chargers, yeah, they're obviously the underdog in that division, but you know what? They have looked pretty dang good, even given all the injuries that they've had.
They've got a positive plus minus on the year.
Yeah, they have impressed me very, very much, even losing Keenan Allen and, I mean, all kinds of other pieces here and there. And, yeah, they're 1-3, and I think that in that tough of a division where they're going to have to play the Chiefs twice, the Raiders twice, the Broncos twice, I don't think that they are a real contender. But in a different division, they very well could be. You put them in the AFC South, I think they're in the playoff.
You could put anybody in the AFC South and they could be in the playoff.
Okay.
Unless you're the Cleveland Browns.
But thing is, San Diego, all their losses are like pretty much near the end, final five minute game of the game.
One thing I would say, though, with that is that just shows they don't have a ton of depth, which they don't, especially with now the injuries that have kind of plagued them over the first couple of weeks. I don't think Chargers are going to be that good over the rest of the year. I think they're good enough to give teams a good game, but not good enough to actually win.
That's fair. But, I mean, as far as the rest of the division goes, I really think the Raiders get into the playoffs this year, which is why I don't think that the AFC North has 3 playoff teams. I think that's just absurd because even if the Raiders don't, I think the Chiefs have a pretty good shot at it. As bad as they looked the other day, you can't define a team by one game. You just got to look at, I mean, overall, you've got 3 very good teams in that division, and the Chargers, who I think are pretty solid as well. I don't see that division only getting 1 playoff team.
I'm going to kind of wait because the Raiders last year started off well. They were like 6-2 and then completely faded over the second half of the season. Derek Carr kind of unfolded a bit. And that's really when the playoffs are won, is the second half of the season. And until the AFC West kind of proves that they can actually last that second half, Kansas City did last year. Denver kind of backed into the playoffs a little bit. I see only 1 playoff team, really, in there.
You're crazy. You're off your rocker.
Both the Raiders and Chiefs are going to contend.
You're off your rocker.
But I don't think they're going to make it.
You're saying this because you're a Ravens fan.
I am, but it's also...
You're saying this because you're a Ravens fan, because, let's face it, the Ravens have a pretty good shot to finish third in that division.
I don't think the Ravens will make the playoffs this year.
I don't think they do.
I think they do.
So now we've established that.
Hey, we're all homers here. You think Panthers and there's are going to be in. Hey, you think Panthers are going to be
there's nothing wrong with being a homer. I'm just going to call you out on it. And you can call me out on mine as well. I don't have much to be homer about right now. The reason why
the Packers aren't going to make it.
Because they're 2-1 in a division with the Vikings. You have the NFC East, which is going to be a pretty good division. Eagles are undefeated. Cowboys are 3-1. Redskins are 2-2. Those are three good possible playoff teams. Even the Giants.
You're telling me the NFC East is going to have two playoff teams?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it could happen.
Moving on to the NFC.
NFC East. Let's talk about
NFC East. It's the most talked about division in football, even most years when it doesn't deserve to be. I had a lot of doubts for the NFC East this coming into this year, but, you know, they've actually proven a lot of them wrong so far, and I've sort of enjoyed watching it. I don't care for any of those teams particularly, but, you know, the whole okay, so you got the Cowboys with their whole losing Tony Romo story and bringing in Dak Prescott and all of his preseason dominance and early season dominance. And
Eagles with Wentz.
The Eagles with Wentz, and how on earth are they 4-0? And then, I mean, you got the Redskins, which are
3-0 because they've had a bye already.
Returning. What was that?
Philadelphia's 3-0 because they had a bye this last week.
3-0.
Then Redskins or Giants are 2-2.
The Redskins, who were the division champs last year, and, I mean, they've looked okay, but they beat the Giants, and the Giants, who have the biggest bonehead in football.
I mean, you look at it, based on record, this is the best division right now.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
I don't think they are, but I mean, there's four teams right there that all have a legitimate shot to win this division. Personally, I think the Cowboys eventually do, just because, I mean, I think their offense is pretty good. They've got the best offensive line in that division, possibly in football.
And they got Ezekiel.
Raiders.
Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, it's between the Raiders and the Cowboys, but I mean, and then you think about it, once they get Tony Romo back, they got a good receiving core. The defense is suspect, but
yeah, I don't know. I think it's between the Eagles and the Redskins. I'm not buying the Cowboys one bit. I've watched a few of their games this season. I'm just not buying them. And you know, I'm not a professional scout or anything, but just from the eye test, I'm not buying them. I think that once they start playing a little bit tougher competition, they're gonna cave. I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys, and again, I think that all four of the teams in this division end up pretty close to 500. I think the Cowboys end up about 8-8. I think the Giants are right there, 7-9, 8-8. And it might come down to if one of those teams can get 10 wins. We'll see.
It'll be fun to watch. I'm not sure we can say a ton right now just because it is. Every team in there is just kind of fighting.
Yeah. One thing you can say about the NFC East is, although in past years I think it has been overrated, it's almost always like a close fight.
Well, they haven't had a repeat fight division to the finish, winner kinda, for like 9 years. NFC North, I think, though, is a little bit more clear-cut. I think the Vikings, I do kind of buy the Vikings, mainly because their defense is outstanding. I see them winning that division. Sorry, Trevor.
You can go home and see that. You know that they do play one more at Lambeau, right?
Yeah, they do. But they already beat the Packers once.
That was at home and barely.
Still, they also just destroyed the Panthers.
We don't talk about that.
So did the Atlanta Falcons.
We definitely don't talk about
that. We'll talk about that.
No, shut up.
Vikings.
You know what? Actually, I'm with Trevor on this, though. Not about the last part, but I think the Packers win the division. I'm sold on the Vikings. I think that they are a wild card team, and they could do some damage in the playoffs. They could make a little bit of a run, but I think until proven otherwise, I think that the Packers are the best team in that division.
The reason why I say that is the Packers do have a slightly easier schedule because since they did take second last year, they play all the second team.
They do have an easier schedule, but how easy is it, though? Because they've struggled. They struggled mightily against the Jaguars in week one. Jaguars are not that good this year, or any year. They struggled this past week, or not this past week, but before their bye, with the Lions, who also aren't really a good team. They're not as efficient as they have been on offense. Aaron Rodgers is something like 24th in pass yards per attempt, or something like that. This isn't the same oiled machine. And their defense is better than usual, but I think the Vikings just kind of keep control with their defense and ultimately win the division.
In the South, I think we're all in agreement that the Panthers are going to win it.
No. Falcons.
I think the Falcons actually put it together.
You guys are crazy.
They've got a two-game lead.
It's not clear-cut, I mean, by any means, but... I mean, yes. Okay, so the Falcons
actually,
are 3-1.
Tampa Bay winning that one.
The Falcons are 3-1, and the Bucks, Panthers, and Saints are all 1-3. And I think that this is going to be a pretty close division when it comes up to the end. I'm not buying the Saints one bit. Their defense is just hideous, just terrible, terrible.
I'm sticking a fork in them.
I am buying the Falcons as a very good team, and I am buying the Buccaneers, even though they've had a slow start.
Buccaneers have the worst point differential in the entire league. I do not buy them.
I think
sticking a fork in Tampa Bay.
But man, everyone's writing off the Panthers so far, and it's crazy.
They are.
It's crazy talk, man.
I think Carolina it's four probably
games in the season. Everyone's writing them
off. Who allows 300 yards to one receiver?
Yeah, that's what. I'm
Again,
saying.
We don't talk about that. Okay, listen though.
Like, there's two sides of that.
Julio Jones is a very explosive receiver, and he's throughout his entire career. I'm not trying to justify the Panthers giving up 300 yards because that is. That's terrible. They're starting two rookie cornerbacks, though. And you have to look at what the Panthers have done with cornerbacks in the past. Josh Norman, before he was playing cornerback for the Panthers and before, you know, last year's big season, nobody knew who Josh Norman was. He came out of an FCS school or Division II school. He was garbage. Nobody knew who he was. And the Panthers had a way of building him into a good player and the player that he is.
So translation, Jaden is saying that James Bradbury and Daryl Worley are going to be the next Josh
That's
Norman.
Not what I'm saying at all. Don't put words into my mouth. I'm saying that while they have two rookie corners right now, and that is the reason why Julio was able to get so many yards on him, Julio's a very explosive receiver who has big, big games. I mean, just look at his stats throughout the past few years. He has big, big games, 200-yard-plus games. And the Panthers are starting very early in the season two rookie cornerbacks. Of course they're going to take advantage of that matchup. Daryl Worley and James Bradbury are nothing special, and by the end of the season you're not going to look at them as Pro Bowlers or anything like that. But within, you know, by the end of the season they are going to be much, much improved from what they are, as the Panthers defense always is throughout the season. I mean, just look at the past 4 or 5 years. They start out slow on defense, and they get better and better as it goes on. They got the best linebacking core in the NFL. They've got a solid D-line. And once they get that secondary fixed, they'll be a team to mess with.
That's the thing. I don't really think they get the secondary fixed this season. You look at that division. If you don't have a good secondary against Julio Jones, Jameis Winston, and Mike Evans, that's a pretty good connection. And Drew Brees is still one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. I think the Panthers get in as a wild card probably, but I think the Falcons actually win the division this year. But, I mean, we still have to wait and see. I mean, I'm not going to write the Panthers off, but.
Why not? Everyone else is.
I think South's going to have a hard time getting a wild card in. You got the West. You got the West leading on to our next segment. You got the West with the Rams and Seattle both at 3-1. And they've both been playing pretty good with their defense.
I don't buy the Rams for one half of a second.
I don't know how they're 3-1, to be honest. Like, I think it's a typo that they're 3-1. But.
I'm selling them so quick. I don't think they get to 500 this year.
They'll be 7-9. Seattle Seahawks. They won the division. Let's be honest. It's Seahawks. The Cardinals just look like a mess right now.
People are writing off the Cardinals too. They're going to come back. They're going to be. I don't think they win the division. I do think that they are a wild card.
I'm not saying they won't, but I mean them and the Panthers. Like, until they show me a game where they put it together completely. I just can't be like, yeah, I think they'll turn it around. I think Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks win the division, and I think probably the NFC. Anyway, that's all the divisions, and we are running low on time. I could keep going forever. I just love talking football, and there's so much good stuff going on, NFL, college football. We're going to continue this every week. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope that you are able to come listen again in future weeks. We're going to have this on Podbean. We're going to have it on iTunes. I believe they're still working on that, but on the Aggie Radio website. So once again, thanks for tuning in. We are Section 119, talking everything Aggie sports and everything that sports fans care about.
Everything that floats our goat.
Everything.
Bye.
Bye.